As I watched the choir and the worship team taking their seats in the congregation, I was reminded of the first time I spoke from a pulpit. I was a university student at Trent University, and it was the first time I'd been invited to give an entire message. I'd had the opportunity to speak a few times in my home church, but never a whole message. And so my fellow bandsmen, my close, wonderful, understanding friends took their place in the congregation. The youngest ones, of course, went to the balcony. And as I stood up to begin my message, I looked at the balcony, and there was an entire row of people waving their watches at me. Well, it's been a wonderful service, and time has grown short. And I want to be able to share with you from my heart this morning. Not that I don't share from my heart every Sunday, but this is kind of special to me. And I want to make sure that I'm not like the coffee mug that my children gave me. This was my special mug. And on the side of the mug, it showed a pastor, finger pointed eloquently with the word in front of him. And as you rotated the cup, there was an entire congregation sound asleep. This is a Sunday when, in all seriousness, we think about the Lord as our King. Now, that's not as easy as you might think, because we no longer live in the era of kings. Yes, there are many countries that have monarchy, but those monarchies are entirely symbolic. They are a wonderful symbol of country, and many countries never want to be able to give up having their monarchy. When I was very young, my dad would show us a book from Queen Elizabeth's coronation. Everything from the carriage to the ermine robe to the crown jewels, everything was in that book. And there's a sense of awe that came over you when you saw these wonderful things that were connected to my queen. And your queen, by the way. But King, as it's related to us in Scripture, is the all-powerful ruler, the one who was the face of the nation, not symbolically, but in all power and authority. The King was the one who made the decisions that impacted everyone. And so it was extremely important that your King was capable, was wise. When King Solomon was given the offer of anything from the Lord, he sought wisdom. When we read from the book of Revelation, there we will be as part of this great multitude that no one could count. That multitude from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And we, together with all of the angels and the elders and the four living creatures, will be saying blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. The important part of that, seriously, is the forever and ever, because those things being listed are not gifts that we are giving to God. These are things that God has always had, and we simply are acknowledging their existence. He is the source of all blessing. He is worthy of all glory. He holds all wisdom and deserves our thanksgiving and our honor, because all power and might are His. We live in a world that wants to belittle God, that wants to think perhaps God is simply a creation that we have made to explain the unexplainable. Karl Marx once referred to our faith as an opiate for the masses. People want to deny God, but the majesty of God is all around us. And that's what we acknowledge this morning. That's what we focus on this morning. And as we worship God, as we try to wrap our minds around who God is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do, as we try to take our finite minds and focus it on the infinite God, we need to see where our part might be in living for the Lord. Because as his subjects, our duty is to do those things which honor our King. Paul put it this way. He said, you need to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, coupled with spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is why we are always encouraged to spend time in God's Word, to read it for ourselves, to understand it for ourselves. One of the great tenets of Baptist belief is that we interpret Scripture for ourselves. No one does it for us. We use the minds and the wisdom that God has given us to look for insight in his word. We ask him for not just the world's wisdom, but for spiritual wisdom and understanding. Much like King Saul, we should be seeking wisdom for our lives so that we can lead lives, as Paul said, worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing to him. That sounds like a daunting task. That sounds like an incredible challenge. We thrive on challenge. We need to have something before us that we are striving to do. We need to have a focus. We need to have an aim and a purpose. I mentioned last week when Shirley would visit with Mrs. Waltho, about the time she was about 100, 101 to 102 range, she would say, I don't understand why God still has me here. And Shirley said, he has you here because you have a purpose. Each one of us are here because we have a purpose. God has work for us to do, and we are to do it, to bear fruit in every good work. Paul encouraged the Colossians, to bear fruit in every good work. Do you remember the importance of our good works? It's not for our glory, it's for God's glory. The things that we do reflect who we are in God and who others could be in God if they embraced him. We are called salt and light. We are to be living, walking, talking, breathing examples of God's love in action. Each one of us has been made by a purpose. We have been shaped by the potter's hand so that we may be vessels fit for his service. But because he is the great king and who looks after us and has a purpose and a plan for us, he equips us for the job that is at hand. And Scripture is full of examples of equipping and equipment. We think of the full armor of God. Last night I was in Erin Mills for the 25th anniversary of the Seekers Christian Fellowship, which began as a tiny little group of Sri Lankans in our first church. It was one of those movements of God which is absolutely incredible because it started with Shirley making friends with a Sri Lankan lady who lived across the road and had a little boy coming to our Moms and Tots program. And Doreen was tired. She was tired of driving to Toronto. Her husband wanted to be with other Sri Lankans, and so they had to drive to Toronto every Sunday. And Shirley says, isn't there something we can do about this? And I looked at our little church and realized it's empty most of the week. What can we do? So I went to her husband, Ronald, who was a very accomplished businessman, and was a wonderful asset to our church when he was there. And I said, Ronald, how many Sri Lankans do you think there are in Dundas, in the greater Hamilton area? Don't you think that we should be doing something right where we are? Don't you think we should be doing something right where we are? Turns out Ronald had been praying for years for a chance to be able to enter into ministry for his own people. He especially felt a burden for the first and second generation Sri Lankans here in Canada. Ronald was a Tamil. He began his fellowship as a Tamil Christian fellowship. And shortly after that, this incredible work of God took place. And it became a Sri Lankan Christian fellowship. Sinhalese and Tamils together because of their love for the Lord. And it has been growing and continuing to grow now for 25 years. Because we looked for God's leading in our lives. We looked for his plan and his purpose, for his will. Be filled with the knowledge of God's will. God has a will for this entire church. God has a will for every couple in this church. God has a will for every family in this church, every couple in this church, and every individual in this church. God has a will for us, a plan for us, and we have to find it and work within it. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, that you may be prepared to endure everything. How we react to the things around us is a huge witness to the reality of Christ in our lives and in this world. We have to endure everything with patience. I love the way this is coupled together, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father. It's not the only time Paul mentions the fact that we need to be able to give thanks in every circumstance of our lives. For those things that we celebrate and for those things that are shaping us. You see, everything we go through should be moving us closer and closer to God. And when he puts trials in our path, when we face mysteries that we don't understand, when we don't know exactly what the future is going to hold, we trust. We trust in God and give thanks to him for those things that we are going through and the ways those circumstances can help us grow stronger in him. Because he has enabled us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Who is the light? Our Lord Jesus. I am the light of the world. And where light is, there is no darkness. And we will go where there is no night there. It's the great description of heaven, that we don't need the sun or the moon because the light, the Lord Jesus, is with us always. And there's no night there. When I was going to music camp, they used to have Vespers every night at devotions time. And they would always sing us a very quiet, soothing, lullaby-like devotion for us to leave. Now the day is over. Night is drawing nigh. To which we would respond in a strong voice, there's no night there. There's no night there. Hallelujah. There's no night there. We had intentions of having a lot more fun before we went to bed. But in the serious, God lights up our lives. And that light is within us, and that light shines out from us to the world around us because we are children of light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We didn't earn our way there. We didn't buy our way there. We didn't work our way there. He transferred us. And that transference was our sins upon the shoulders of his Son who died on our behalf so that we might find forgiveness. The kingdom of his beloved Son in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Because God the King, Christ the King, was willing to become Christ the man and die upon a human cross for sins he did not commit, we have redemption and our sins are forgiven. He has since gone to be with the Father. He is on his throne in the heavenly places, and he should be always on the throne of our hearts. He is our King of kings and our Lord of lords. Let's celebrate him and all we have and are in him.